are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Seventh-day Adventist Christians take part in the Lord's Supper, sometimes called Holy Communion service, as a commemoration of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. It's a time to reflect upon what Jesus has done for us, and also to respectfully express this gratitude as a church family, also to serve one another. So what exactly is the meaning and the significance of this service is what we're going to be finding out in this conversation being led out by my elder. Elder Malata, good afternoon to you and welcome to the Maranatha Drive. Elder Malata? Elder, we know you are there. We can hear you, but you're not speaking to us. Let me see what happened there, because the elder is connected. He was even speaking to us earlier on. Not too sure what happened there. Let's see if we can try and reconnect the line with my elder so that we can have this conversation, of course. And you too, my dear listener, joining in wherever you are, you can share your thoughts, your comments with us. +27 73 470 3520. That's the number that you can talk to us on. +27 73 470 3520 with the hashtag there, Maranatha Drive, and let your comments, your thoughts, your questions be known to us as we study together. Elder Malata, good afternoon and welcome.
Peter, hello.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir? Elder Malata? Okay, not too sure what's happening there. The elder is connected. We can hear him, but it seems like he is not able to hear us. Let's then see. Maybe we can try a different line altogether as we try and get into this conversation with Dalawetu, Elder Malata, taking us through how to understand what the scriptures are saying to you and to me.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Malata, do we have you on the line now?
Correct, yes.
Ah, there we go. I don't know. It seems like you couldn't hear us on the other line. We could hear you nice and clear. But good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mdala. We are appreciative of you taking the time to talk to us and the listeners this week regarding this very important fundamental belief lesson, the Lord's Supper, one of the elements that the Lord said we must partake in. He says, baptize them. And then he also said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're going to be covering that one for the next 3 days. As we jump into this lesson part, Dalawam, what is the Lord's Supper and what does it mean?
The Lord's Supper is a commemoration of what Christ has done and the anticipation as well of his second coming. It is the fulfillment of the Passover. Remember, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they were to be liberated from the bondage of Egypt, they had to commemorate a Passover. They had to select to get that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, 6, going down, that they had to slaughter a lamb, a blemishless lamb that was spotless, that was 1 year old, that was a male. And this was a type pointing to Jesus Christ who was to come, because they had to slaughter it, take its blood, smear it on the doorpost, so that when the killing angels passed, hence it is called a Passover, passed at midnight, when the angel sees the blood, the angel passes over in the houses where the children were. So meaning they were saved by the blood of the lamb that they slaughtered, which it pointed to Jesus Christ who was to come. Because remember in Exodus chapter 9, verse 4, it says, thou shalt not eat a flesh with its life, which is its blood, meaning when you see blood, you see life. So when the angel passed over, the angel was not seeing only blood as me and you will see it, but the angel was seeing the life of Christ Jesus. So all those inside that house were to be saved by the token of that blood, which it pointed to Jesus Christ. Hence, Peter, in 1 Peter 1:19, he says, Jesus Christ, the blemishless lamb, because he was understanding that this was the fulfillment of what was pointing to. So when Christ came, the Lord's Supper now, it fulfilled what was then the Passover.
Okay, so are we then to understand that the Lord's Supper is, in essence, the Passover.
Yes, yes, it was its fulfillment, because if you look at the parallel, as I was trying to explain, mm-hmm. it pointed exactly to that. So when Christ came and instituted it on the very same period, teaching his disciples that everything that was done, the lambs that they were killing, everything, it was pointing to him as a paschal lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. You remember John in the River Jordan when Jesus yeah. came in John 1:29, he told the lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. all this was pointing to Jesus Christ. So he instituted that in the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm. Ntala, talk to us about the significant part of the Lord's Supper that Christ then would have it to share with his disciple. What he shared with his disciple about this experience. Maybe share that with us and the listeners.
Yes, it's very much important, because remember when it started with foot washing, which we'll deal with it in some other session. And Peter said to Jesus, not me, don't wash my feet, because it sounded like a rebuke to him to see his master washing his feet. Whereas all of them, when you read carefully, you'll find that they were sort of like harboring jealousy, wishing to know who was the greatest and all. So that impeded them from washing each other's feet. So their master now washing them. Peter said, no, you're not going to wash me. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you don't have part with me. So you can see the importance of the Lord's Supper that we need as Christians, as believers, we need to partake, because as I mentioned earlier on, that it's sort of like a dual arrow, an arrow that points backwards and points forward. It points back to the commemoration of what Christ has done for us. In Egypt, they were commemorating it because they were delivered from the Egyptian slavery. With us, it points back that we are delivered from sin. Hence, when we partake of this, we remember what the Lord has done for us, and we partake it in the present, pointing to the future. Because he said, when you do this always in remembrance of me. And when you do it, you appear till he comes.
Indeed. Do it until I come. And I like Mfundisi, Dalawame, when you point out that aspect of how Christ brings it then, including this foot washing ceremony, right, where he then says, you're thinking you're clamoring for notice and for leadership and for superiority. Actually, no. The leader is the one who is the least among. I think that was just profound. Are we still there, though, today, Mdala, where we see that lesson, that significance of the Lord's Supper, this issue of servant leadership? Is it what we're still practicing, or we only do that on that one particular day when we wash each other's feet? Can't every day, other day, we are looking for leadership, you know, elder. I want to be the elder. If you are selected for any other position, it's a demotion and you want not to serve for that year. Talk to us up. Is it something that we're still doing in our Christian walk today, or it's just a symbol, Jay, as what we do once a quarter?
You are pushing me to the subject that I'm to deliver in foot washing.
Okay.
As a symbol, we are just doing it once. And remember, we are doing it in a favorable situation, whereby when they were doing it, when Christ, they were doing it, they were wearing sandals and their feet had dust and all that. But with us today, you will find a guy who's polished, who's got his socks are clean and everything. You sort of like a washed person. So it's some of us so were true. Just doing it as a ritual. We're doing it as a ritual, but we lose its essence, because most of us, most of us, we are just doing that. You'll find that not talking to, but I dare to go there and partake instead of reconciling with the brother. And as you mentioned, today I'm an elder. Next year they elect me as a deacon. I take it as a demotion, thinking that no, now this church, and you find people in some other churches fighting for position, when indeed Jesus Christ was teaching us, you know, the people who are others, the leadership servant, books are written about that. It emanates from the scriptures that he who wants to be a great, let him be the servant. Because Jesus Christ is teaching us the servanthood. And when you check the scriptures, my elder, the entire scripture, he says, happy is that servant that when I come, we'll find him doing so. Have you considered my servant, Job?
Yeah.
Everywhere Jesus, when he talks about
servants.
he's coming for servants, not coming for supervisors, managers, leaders, CEOs and GMs in the church, but he's coming for those who just humble themselves, because he said he was our trend setter. He humbled himself to the cross. A man who came from the outer space with all authority and power, but he came, walked on the streets of Palestine and became like nothing when he was the greatest. So this is what we should learn as Christians, that we need to indeed not just act it, but live it. Be a servant.
I like that. You went to town, Mdala, you went to town. That's profound. And I like how you were pointing out how we come washing the washed. Listener, you're saying we even pedicure that day. We make sure our nails are nice and clean because we don't want them to look at our dirty feet and things that are not nice. I always joked around with my friends, especially in my younger days, to say, on this day, I must make sure I don't bath and wash my feet. I must even come to church barefoot and make sure that I have dust on my feet so you get something to wash. But I guess that's not the point as well, right? Mdala,
yeah.
When you look at the Lord's Supper, we're always warned, please prepare for the Lord's Supper. And we're encouraged, if you're standing around and not washing, the deacons would come to you. Hey, my brother, my sister, why are you not washing? Let's encourage you. And we always want people to partake. Why is it so important to partake in the service?
You'll remember what Jesus said to Judas, that if you don't partake, you don't have part with me. Because, if we knew our last days on earth, we would postpone and say, I'll do it next time. So you might find that is my last day today. And that's very much important because before you partake in it, you start by reconciling, you forgive sins, the one you don't talk to. It's sort of like a ceremony where you sort of like re-cleansed yourself through this ceremony. So if you don't partake, you are indirectly telling me that you've got control of your life. You feel like, no, today I'm not okay and I'll do it. And remember, it was not a ceremony for the okayed. It was a ceremony because Judas himself was there. The Lord washed himself. There's a classic book I love with all my heart, written by Ellen G. White, The Desire of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
When she explained that Judas, because he was a man of pride, he said, close to Jesus Christ, and on the other side, it was the beloved disciple John. So when he came so close to Jesus, he wanted to be close. He thought that he was going to be this deputy Jesus Christ.
So,
whereas it's pride that pulled him to that position. But what did Jesus do? If it was me, I would, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing this is a hypocrite, knowing this is a guy who's going to sell me, I would have kicked him out. But Jesus Christ started washing his feet. And in that classic book, A Desire of Ages, Ellen G. White says, Jesus, when he was washing Judas' feet, he spent some more time and he prayed, he wanted to save Judas. So if Judas partook in that one, my question is, what is that type of sin that you want to go and cleanse it externally? Yes, because, and you cannot. I used to say to people when I talk to a person, say, no, you know, my time hasn't come to become a Christian. My time will come just as you accept that. I said, my brother, you don't know the time. You don't know the time. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart.
So true.
So it's very much important to partake, for we do not know the day or the hour of us dying. So unless if you know, okay, I'm still too late for
live,
the
I
next
still have
30
time
years,
to
so
partake.
I skip two. Yes,
Mdala, maybe as you
because that might be my last one.
So true. Maybe as we wrap it up then, my elder, we talk about access. Is it everybody who can participate in this? Or are there specific members who can be included? You know, I'm thinking if you're there and somebody who's not your member comes in and wants to wash, can they, if you've got a young person who has been touched by the service, they want to wash a child, can they participate? Who can participate in this service?
When you study carefully, you find that everybody is welcome, but there is a prerequisite. Let's take, because this one is parallel to baptism.
Okay.
You don't baptize infants, do you? Because there's a prerequisite. If you confess and you accept, an infant, a child who isn't yet, remember there is also other people are worried. What about my child? There is child dedication that caters for children. And you cannot also, when it comes to this one also, if you are a Christian, I'm a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, let's say you are a Methodist or a Catholic or whosoever, and you visited us and you are a member in your church, you've accepted Christ, then you can partake, no problem. But we must avoid taking children to this, especially children who are not yet, who have not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, because you don't want to take it so that people take it as a light thing, a thing to play with. Because anybody participating should know what they are doing. Hence, Paul would say, see to it that when you come, you are well prepared to participate, and you don't participate unworthily. So what is to be unworthily is just to do it because others are doing it. Remember, the bread we eat and the wine we drink, the bread represents the flesh of Jesus Christ, and the blood, the wine represents his blood that he shed on the cross for us. So this is a matter of life and death. So it's a serious stuff that when we need to go there, we need to
prepare. What about Umdala, people who are not children, they're adults, but they have not yet been baptized? Can they participate?
It's very dangerous. Because if they participate, in what? Because remember, when you participate, you know that it is the flesh and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you follow the steps back, you need to accept and know who you are following. So these days we've become so tactical that we say, now we are all sinners. There are things we need to say. The Lord said things should be done this way. So if you are a Christian, but if you don't believe in Christ, what are you doing?
No, I believe. Do you know the bread you are baptized? What if they are in baptismal class? Can they do that? I mean, they're already on the way to, they've already said, we want this Jesus.
Yes, they want this Jesus. I believe they should follow all the protocols. But if let's say maybe, because this also brings me to think, what about a person like the, because you'll find this question so much in the book of Acts. You remember the eunuch who came and said, here's water, why should I not be baptized?
Yeah.
Because we believe in the teachings before baptism. But that guy was matured already, because he was not a person who would take from kindergarten. He was a guy dissecting the scriptures. His point was, who is the prophet talking about here? Is he talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip was sent just to enlighten him that, no, this is Christ. Then he said, okay, when it's Christ and to be accepted, you need to be baptized. Then what impede me? Because here is water. So the guy is ready. So yes, other people, if you find the readiness. But the other question is, why are you in a hurry to partake when you're in a baptismal class?
Why are you in a hurry? You know, Mdala, maybe as I let you go, we once had an elder do a lesson regarding that scenario of the Philip and the eunuch, to say, in actual fact, when you look at the distance between Jerusalem and Ethiopia, where the eunuch was going, it's over 2,500 km. Now, using horse and chariot, that would take you about 3 months. So we're not sure how long Philip actually was in study with the eunuch. Could have been that they studied for months before he then got baptized. So still your question is standing. Why are you in a hurry? Thank you so much, Mdala. Until we chat again tomorrow, may God bless you. And thank you so much for taking us through today's study.
Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you.
Amen. That is Elder Malati. They're taking us through the study of this fundamental belief, the Lord's Supper, I like how he referred to the John chapter 13, where Christ institutes this one. And remember, Peter then says, no, if you can't wash me, you're saying you must, if you can't wash me, then I've got nothing to do with you. Then wash my hands, my head, my everything. And Christ says, no. The one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, because he's clean otherwise, right? So maybe you need to wash first. Get baptized, Mzalani. Why are you in a rush?
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.